Buddhism also, I mentioned before, it shows us that we have the power and ability to change our lives. So if we don't like what's happening to us, as Buddhists, we don't sit around and complain. Or technically we shouldn't, I'm sure many of us do. But, and all Buddhists are not Buddhas, that's very important to remember. Okay. But when we really think about the Buddha's teachings, they're showing us, you know, by the teachings on karma, the teachings on action and their effects, that our actions, our thoughts, our emotions, our words, our deeds, these have effects. And so what we're experiencing now is the result of our previous deeds. So the happiness, the areas in which we have happiness now, that's due to our own constructive actions in the past. The areas in our life where we have difficulties now, that's due to negative actions we did in the past. So that rather than blame others, rather than bellyache and complain all the time, you know, we're taught that if we want more of the good things, then we should create the cause. And if we don't like the problems, then we should stop creating the cause for them. Okay? So for example, when we meet some kind of misfortune, maybe, you know, somebody criticizes us. I often use that as an example because we get criticized all the time, don't we? Yeah. At least I do. That when we have a problem in our life, rather than saying, oh, how can people criticize me? Oh, you know, I'm so negative, you know, we lose all of our self-confidence. Or we get angry, you know, sometimes when we're criticized, we get angry. How can they criticize me? You know, who do they think they are? Well, and then, you know, of course, we criticize them back, and then you have a, you know, you have a big fight ensuing. Well, rather than do that, if we're well-trained in the Buddha's teachings, when we get criticized, we stop and think, is what that person is saying true? Well, if it's true, no sense getting angry. No sense retaliating, because the criticism they're saying, it's true. So I'm always saying I want to improve myself, so somebody's showing me how, I have to say thank you. You know, no sense getting angry. On the other hand, if somebody is criticizing me and blaming me for something I didn't do, also there's no reason to retaliate, there's no reason to get upset, because what they're saying is incorrect. Okay? And so, in that way, you know, we're able to let go of our anger and not just perpetuate more anger and more violence. Or we might say, we might think, well, why are these people criticizing me? Well, I've criticized others in the past. And if we look at our lives, we've all done that. So, if I don't like people criticizing me, I need to stop criticizing other people. Yeah. So the question may come, well, sometimes people make mistakes. Does that mean I don't say anything? No, it doesn't mean that. Sometimes, you know, in appropriate situations, you can say something. But giving somebody feedback is very different than criticizing them. Okay? If somebody's made a mistake, you could go to them and say, oh, gee, you know, this happened. Did you notice that, you know, maybe you need some help in learning how to do this. Can I help you, you know, do this? And that's quite different than going to the person and saying, why did you do this? You know, the whole company is depending on you, and, you know, you're just such an idiot. And then, of course, you know, that saying that doesn't create a very good environment at work, does it? So instead of criticizing the person, we might point out the mistake they made, but we point it out with kindness, we point it out with compassion. We volunteer to help teach them another way, you know, how to do it correctly. Yeah, okay. So abandoning criticizing others doesn't mean that we just, you know, ignore things that aren't going well and pretend they don't exist. Okay? But what we're trying to do here is recognize that if we don't like criticism, then we need to give feedback to other people in a different way, instead of tearing them down and humiliating them and making them lose self-confidence. We need to give them feedback in another way. And if we do that, they're going to be happier. And in addition, we're going to stop creating the karma to be criticized. Okay? Or if we think of an area in our life where we have a lot of benefit. For example, you know, people live in Singapore. It's a very prosperous country. You know, there's no extreme poverty here. People have very, very good lives. I know none of you feel like you have enough money, but, you know, compared to other people in the world, you're incredibly rich, and this is a very luxurious place to live. So we have to think, you know, instead of just taking the wealth for granted and complaining because we wish we had more, okay, because then, you know, our wealth doesn't even make us happy because our mind is just involved with complaining because we don't have enough. To be able to say, wow, look, I live in such a wonderful country with so much prosperity. I'm so wealthy. What's the cause of wealth? And if we look in the Buddha's teachings, we find that generosity is the cause of wealth. Okay. So then we think, oh, well, if I want to continue to have wealth in this life and in future lives, then I should be generous because my present wealth is due to my past generosity. So now if I want future wealth, I should be generous now. And so then we cultivate a sense of generosity and giving and sharing. And we immediately see the benefits. Now, because when people are generous, other people like them. You know, when people are miserly, I mean, do you like to be around miserly people who don't share their stuff? I mean, it's really horrible being around them, isn't it? We all like to be around generous people. So similarly, you know, when we create generosity, other people like us. They want to be around us. And also, we create a prosperity in society because, for example, you know, if we're practicing generosity, then things that we don't use in our home, we will give to other people who don't have it. So rather than just stuff in our closets, you know, that we never use but we can't give away, yeah, we share with people, you know, who don't have. We support charities. And so that creates more equality in the society, more material equality. And when people share their possessions more, then you have more harmony in society, don't you? When there's a big division between rich and poor because the rich are exploiting the poor people and the rich won't share their property with the poor people, you're going to have a lot of tension and political conflict in society. Whereas when people really cultivate a sense of generosity and share what they have with other people in their country, or one country shares what they have with people in another country, then we create so much good feeling, which contributes to our own peaceful society and peace in the world. So you have a direct benefit of generosity, and we have the future benefit, you know, karmically, of in future lives, you know, being born in a place where we have the things that we need to live, being born with wealth and being able to sustain that. So this whole view in Buddhism, you know, that we create the causes for what we experience, you know, puts the responsibility on us. So if we're unhappy with something in our life, then we have the power and the ability to change it. And if there are things that are going well in our life, we have the power and ability to create the causes for those things to continue in the future. Okay? And so I think that's something that gives us a sense when we're practicing that as human beings we have responsibility. We have power. We don't just sit and complain and wait for somebody else to do something. Okay? You know, so similarly, when we pray to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, we don't just pray, I want to be wealthy, so Kuan Yin, please may I, win the lottery. Yeah. If you want to be wealthy, then be generous. Okay? Share what you have. Create the cause for wealth. You know, the wealth may not come next week or next month, but it'll come karmically, maybe in a future life, maybe later in this life, we don't know. But in any case, when we're generous, we have a happy heart. When all we do is pray, may I win the lottery, may I get a promotion, may my son marry a good girl, may my daughter marry a good boy, then when we're only just thinking selfishly about things that concern our family, then actually, we become more unhappy because our generosity is being confined. So when we open the heart and really create generosity broadly, it benefits everybody, ourselves and others. Okay. Another thing that is a teaching of Buddhism, that makes people attracted to it, is that from a Buddhist viewpoint, everybody's equal. Okay? And so when you look in India, in the case of the untouchables who are converting to become Buddhists, they're doing so because Buddhism counteracts the caste system. And this is from the time of the Buddha himself. He said, you're not a worthwhile person depending upon what class you're born into. Yeah? What makes somebody, what makes us worthwhile, what makes our life meaningful is our actions, is our thoughts, is our feelings. Yeah? And so rather than, a very heavy-duty class system, which says, you're born a certain way, so, you're denied an education, or, you're born into that social class, and so, nobody's going to give you a good job, or you're born a certain race, and so, there's prejudice against you, or there's religious discrimination, or ethical discrimination, or racial discrimination. From a Buddhist viewpoint, the Buddha was very clear. Everybody's totally equal. Yeah. We don't judge people based on their race, based on their gender, based on their ethnicity, based on their religious beliefs, based on their sexual orientation. No. From a Buddhist viewpoint, everybody is equal in that everybody wants happiness and nobody wants to suffer. So we're all equal that way. And we're all equal in that we have the potential to become a fully enlightened Buddha. Yeah. So whether we're sick, whether we're well, whether we're educated or uneducated, whether we belong to a high social class or a low one, we all have the potential to become a fully enlightened being. And that potential is with us. It can never be eliminated. It can never be removed. And so for that reason, everybody is equal. And also, because everybody has that Buddha potential, everybody is worthy of respect. Okay? So in Buddhism, we can't sign anybody off and say that they're evil. It's interesting. I was giving a talk in the U.S. a few weeks ago, and somebody in the audience asked during the Q&A session, do Buddhists believe in evil? And I said, well, what do you mean by evil? And they said, like an evil person or an evil organization or an evil, something out there. And I said, no. Yeah. Buddhists believe in inappropriate actions, in harmful actions. But we don't believe that anybody is inherently evil because everybody has the potential to generate impartial love and compassion. Everybody has the potential to become a fully enlightened being. So what that means is that we can't sign off on somebody and say that they're worthless and forget about them and evict them from society. Yeah. People may do harmful actions, but the action and the person are different. Okay. So we can say the action is harmful, but we can't say the person is evil, because everybody has potential. Okay. Everybody can change. And I do work, prison work in the U.S. I correspond with prisoners. I go in and I teach Dharma to Buddhist groups in prisons. And it's absolutely incredible work, because you get to know people who are criminals, and you see them instead of just as a criminal, you see them as a human being. And you see their sufferings, and you see them trying to change. And you see them succeeding in changing. Okay, it's really rather amazing. So it's really shown me that we can't just say, oh, somebody's a criminal, throw them in prison, you know, lock them up and forget about them, or execute them, you know, or somebody's inherently evil, so, you know, let's lynch them. In Buddhism, no. You know, everybody has the potential, you know, no matter what they've done, to change, to reform. And so therefore, you know, we should respect them and we should try and help them rather than just criticize them and castigate them and put them in a category and forget about them, sign off on them. We, you know, try out of compassion to help people. You know, why? Because other people have helped us change our bad habits. So we should help them with compassion too. You know, other people care about us in spite of our faults, so we try and care about them in spite of their faults. Okay, so, you know, this emphasis on equality and on human rights, on mutual respect among everybody, you know, is really important in Buddhism. And again, I think this kind of ethic is, or value, is something that is very important for a peaceful society, you know, because if you start, you know, categorizing people according to their class, so you start, you know, developing structures where there's a lot of prejudice and discrimination, you're going to have a mess in your society. Whereas if, you know, we really accept everybody as equal in terms of wanting happiness and not wanting suffering, everybody equal in terms of their Buddha potential, so we respect everybody, then you're going to have a society in which everybody tries to benefit everybody else. And that's going to be a much more peaceful society. Yeah. And what we want is peace and harmony, isn't it? You know, war is not much fun. Another quality that I think people find very attractive in Buddhism is the, and it follows this whole thing of respecting others, is Buddhist respect for people with other religions. Okay, so like I was saying before, we aren't trying to convert somebody, although if people want to become Buddhists, they're certainly very welcome. And Buddhists have the view that it's very good that there's many religions in society. You know, we don't go around saying everybody has to believe in our religion. We say it's good that there's many religions because people have different interests. They have different dispositions. It's impossible to make everybody in the world believe the same religion, isn't it? You know, if you try and force people to convert, you know, by threatening them with death, they might convert, you know, nominally with their mouth, but inside, you know, they're certainly not going to believe the system. Why? You know, I mean, it doesn't work. You can't force people to believe things. And so from a Buddhist viewpoint, that's why we say that it's good that there's different religions, because then everybody can find a system that speaks to them, that makes sense to them. And all religions teach about ethics and morality. All religions teach about love and compassion. So if people follow these tenets in their own religions, then let's respect them. Okay? And so I know personally for myself, I found that kind of tolerance to be very, very healthy and very helpful, you know. And again, it's a quality that breeds peace and harmony in society. Now, in addition, Buddha teaches us also how to go beyond just the happiness and suffering of this life. You know, the chief aim of Buddhism is liberation, okay? Nirvana, enlightenment, the freedom from this constantly, this cycle of constantly recurring problems. So Buddhism not only teaches us how to be ethical and happy human beings this life, but it also, you know, gives us an image of our full spiritual potential and how to completely end the cycle of death and rebirth, how to end the cycle of not getting what we want and getting what we don't want and dissatisfaction, okay? So, you know, talking about liberation, enlightenment, nirvana, moksha, you know, it gives us a vision of incredible human potential, you know, because what is nirvana? It's freedom from ignorance, anger, and attachment, okay? What is enlightenment? It's that same freedom and the ability, plus the ability, to have impartial love and compassion for each and every living being, yeah? And so Buddhism presents an image of human potential and that's really so magnificent, you know, that gives a meaning and purpose to our life that I think is very, very wonderful, yeah? And then it teaches the method to do that. So, you know, Buddhism isn't just based with things of this life, but also teaches us, you know, how to transcend the nature of suffering. Okay. So, I could go on and on, but I thought that's a little sprinkling of, you know, some possible responses to the question of why Buddhism? You know, why are people attracted to Buddhism? Or what does Buddhism have to offer to people? So, what I'd like to do now, and before I open it for questions and answers, all the things that I was talking about there, like I said at the beginning, it wasn't just to give you information. It was like if I talk about love and compassion, it's so that you maybe get some inspiration to meditate and learn the teachings on love and compassion. Or if I talk about religious harmony, so that you'll get some feeling about how to create religious harmony in your country. Or if I talk about generosity, so that you'll have some inspiration to practice it. Okay? So this wasn't just an academic talk. I'm trying to maybe show you some values and qualities that it's good to try and generate in your own life.